Hi, I'm Joni Deutsch, host of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's A Change of Tune. Since the show began almost 2 years ago, A Change of Tune has highlighted some of the best up-and-coming artists out of these West Virginia hills, with podcasty chats that range from Ona to Tyler Childers, Roswell Kid to Quiet, and beyond. But those interviews have been a bit infrequent, and since West Virginia Day is coming up, not to mention A Change of Tune's second birthday, we thought we'd do something special. 30 days, 30 brand new West Virginia music interviews that range from Morgantown alt-rockers to Parkersburg singer-songwriters to venues and management and artists and beyond, all of which contribute to the state's wild and wonderful music scene. And today, we are chatting with Huntington's own Ian Thornton, a 30-something who has become a father figure of sorts in the West Virginia music scene. And no wonder. He's played here, he's booked shows here, he's even put on a local music festival that's grown exponentially over the last almost 7 years. But we'll let him describe what he's done and what he hopes to do for West Virginia music. Ian, you are, I wouldn't even say a jack of all trades, because you jack of all trades means you're not doing things so successfully, but you do everything. But you actually do things very successfully across all sorts of genres. So I guess I'll just let you introduce yourself. Who are you? And name off some of the things that you do.
My name is Ian Thornton. I do kind of, like you said, a mix of things. I play music. I promote music. I book music. I kind of do whatever I can. My passion is local regional music. And so I started the Huntington Music and Arts Festival in 2010. And, you know, played with bands, and I started into the managing game with Tyler Childers. We're approaching our four-year anniversary come November. And, you know, starting with Tyler, it kind of pushed me to maybe try that angle with things. I realized that it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. So that led me to start Whiz Bang Bam, which is booking artist management. And I actually just went live with that about a week ago. The main goal, you know, the thing I thrived on, especially with HMAF too, it's the same thing. It's
the Huntington Music and Arts Festival, you mean?
Yeah. Huntington Music and Arts Festival. I always call it HMAF now. But I've always noticed these really talented bands from this region, you know, not necessarily not getting the respect they deserve, but not getting put to the forefront or getting as much as I think they could get with a little push, with a little help. And so, you know, what I've wanted to do is help promote these bands and do what I can to get them in front of new ears or new venues or new cities or, you know, whatever we can do to promote their careers and get them heard. And then ultimately what that does is it brings attention back to our West Virginia scene. If we can push these bands and get them recognized, like, oh, where'd these guys come from, you know? And then it's just a reoccurring snowball effect, really. So start small and hope it, you know, ends up big. That's like with the Huntington Music Arts Festival. I started it pretty small, but now in our seventh year, where we're finally getting noticed and finally getting a little bit of recognition, and the city's getting behind us. So.
Now, you're talking about all of this stuff. I mean, you started with the love of local music. You got into local music. Now you're helping create and foster local music. But from the very beginning, how did you get involved in music? What did you pick up an instrument? Did your parents encourage you to get into it? Like, how did you start?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it ultimately goes back to my dad. Huge music buff. Couldn't snap his fingers in rhythm, but he could, you know, tell you everything about the Kinks or Dublin bagpipes or folk music. I mean, the guy was just incredibly intelligent on a lot of fronts. And, you know, that's where I got a love of music from the get-go, you know, getting into the Beatles, the Stones and stuff like that, Buddy Holly. And then I got my first instrument in high school, freshman. And then that was just kind of like hanging out with friends, learning. But I really started taking part in the music scene with the Lovecoats, which is my first band that was really doing stuff in Huntington. You know, with them, we saw, you know, moderate regional success. So, you know, we weren't huge or anything, but we did really well in our area.
I don't know. You have a Wikipedia page. That's a pretty good sign of being a successful band, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do have the Wikipedia page. I think our drummer did that.
Which it's not the most flattering photo of a band. I mean, yet again, it was like, what, mid 2000s? So, you know, band photography wasn't that great anyways. But yeah, so in the band, it was yourself, and I assume you were, what, a bass player?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I gravitated towards bass pretty early on because there's a million guitar players, but nobody wanted to play bass. And if you play bass, you'll always have a spot in the band somewhere.
That's good advice. So between Love Coats in 2004 and then AC30 in 2009, how did that transition go between the two bands? Like, did one just end and then you moved on to the next?
Yeah, I was in another really cool band. We were called Desolation Row. We were a little heavier, and it was kind of fun. I was with two, you know, really good guitar players. And then, yeah, you know, it kind of went, Shamrocks came into the fold before AC30 really did. AC30 came from a band we were called Whirling Dervish first, and then that kind of started, you know, we lost a couple members and added a couple members, and then that ended up gravitating and turning into AC30. But like I said, by that time, we got a hold of Shamrocks, my brother and I, and that was 08. And that's really, you know, the Love Coats had broken up already, and I really fell in love with, like, playing shows and, like, meeting bands and that whole atmosphere. And so the Shamrocks venue was where I played my first rock and roll show, actually. And it was Marley's Doghouse at the time, and it came up for sale, and we just jumped in and bought it. None of us had ever been in a bar business or, you know, run a bar business or anything. We just kind of jumped in with 2 feet, and I took over the entertainment side, the booking side. And that's kind of where it all started with me, and like, learning how to book shows, learning how to talk to bands, learning how to handle events and things of that nature. It was a long process, a lot of learning. But, you know, eventually we caught our stride. You know, we're doing really well there for a while.
Prior to you, you know, getting access to the bar and taking it over, did you ever think that you were going to actually have a career in music?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to try to make a career in music. I knew I wanted to have a career in music, you know, from middle school. I wasn't sure how. You know, then everybody wants to be in, like, a famous rock and roll band. You know, that was kind of the, who doesn't want to play Wembley or, you know, Madison Square Garden. But it just kind of gravitated towards it. Always carry day jobs. It's the thing about a musician, I think, is you have to have some other substance or availability to income, because if you depend on music from the get-go, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And you're going to be really hungry.
I mean, with the bar, you taking it over, what was the first year like? Like, was it just was it kind of a failure? Was it kind of a success? I mean, it must have been crazy, you know, you getting your hands wet with everything.
You know, luckily, like I said, the bar itself had a bit of a name of its own. It was a good venue, it was a cool room. I mean, dirty dive bar, you know, smelled terrible, concrete floors, but that was kind of the essence of it. And that first year was rough because, like I said, I had no experience in really doing that side of it. So I was having to, like, put these shows together where I was, you know, I was going through, you know, MySpace was still big at the time. So I'm going through, like, MySpace and all these things, just trying to find bands in the area. So it's really weird. It's like kind of a flip from what you're used to. You know, most venues are having to field so many emails, you know, about bands on the play and having to really be picky choosy. At that time, I was like, please play this bar. You know, we got to have music. We got to have music. So I was putting really funny bills together, which is something I've really liked to do since then. You know, I would put a country act with a metal act, or a hip hop with a punk rock. And at the time, it was out of desperation at first, but then I really liked how that worked. I liked an eclectic style. You know, I like more than one style of music. I think other people like more than one style of music. If you limit yourself to only one, then you're only doing yourself a disservice. So I started kind of getting into doing that kind of stuff. And that first year was rough. It was slow going. But eventually we started catching some tread in the area. And the thing about Huntington, too, was there's not a lot of places for live music, unfortunately. For as many good bands as we have, like today, we're down to, you know, the V Club. And there's other places that will do some music. But I don't, not to sound like rude or anything, but I wouldn't call them venues by any means. More like they'll have music in their bar.
Music-friendly places. Music-friendly, like cafes or bookstores or, yeah, or restaurants like the Black Sheep. Yeah.
Set them in front of the dartboard, you know, and let them go. So, you know, with Shamrocks, it was, I think we were hitting a niche because, you know, we took the role of, like, the dirty dive bar. And I like that. That's what rock clubs are, musty and dark, and that's where the best things happen, I feel. You know, I think we caught on with a lot of the scene, and a lot of people that couldn't maybe necessarily get shows in Huntington, you know, we were much more open arms about, you know, yeah, let's put something together, let's do it.
Well, what were some of the bands of that time that you're booking or that you're interacting with?
Oh, gosh. The Big Bad was around back then. You know, we booked the Rabble Rousers then, who were one of my favorites. The Black Knots, trying to think, and there's Down Goes Frazier was a really good band back then, Holden Caulfield. And we would do, you know, we got where we were starting to do some bigger bands too. Usually, you know, I just had a really thriving heavier scene, whether that be hardcore or metal or whatever. And we brought Municipal Waste in, and of course we had Jessica a few times, and those were always fun shows.
So
but a lot of them from those days are gone, really.
That's what I was just thinking, is that I can't even think of, and most of the bands you just mentioned, like I haven't really heard much about them, like they're maybe in passing, but
yeah,
is that, do you think that's a testament to West Virginia music scene's like livability in terms of music sustaining itself here?
You know, I mean, it's an excellent point because, yeah, if people aren't getting behind it, really, you know, and you don't have that kind of thriving kind of force behind it, it's hard for people to sustain it, you know? And you're probably exactly right. You're probably on the head there. Just people get older, too. It's a thing with bands, especially I think in the local regional scene, ones that it's a lot of fun when you're 22 or 23, you get older and you know, have to kind of get a little bit more serious about your life, a little bit of planning, then, you know, bands take back seats. Even like today, some of the bands when we're in our heyday, there's only a few left. Sly Roosevelt's one, Dead Beats cut their teeth at Shamrocks. I mean, and they're technically still around. they don't play a whole lot anymore, but they're technically still around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think music scenes go in ebbs and flows. There's a lot of high points, and then, you know, it'll just kind of drop off. And, you know, here recently, I think we're on another upturn, it feels like. People are getting inspired again, and you see bands popping up, and it's pretty cool to see.
So let's talk about that, because you're obviously a major force in that reawakening of the music scene here. Almost 7 years ago, you started the Huntington Music and Arts Festival, which is, you know, of course, based in Huntington, and it's grown over the years to not just be about music, but to be about the local art scene. When you first started it, what was your main goal for it? Like, what were you trying to make sure happens as a result?
The main goal was, you know, my mission statement at the time was there was no place, at that time, there weren't any festivals in town, there weren't any things that really were promoting our local scene other than basically two bars in town. And the problem with that is you're right from the get-go, you're cutting out 90% of your potential listeners, because not everybody's going to want to come to a bar and a show that starts at 10:30 at night and goes until 1:30 and 2 in the morning. You're limiting yourself to the potential and possibilities of people getting involved in your music or loving your music or listening to your music. And so my goal was I wanted to bring those bands out of the bars and to the forefront of Huntington, give them a daytime family-friendly event where they could go enjoy some of these bands that I felt were doing really good and I would get behind, and bring them to a daytime show where you could bring your kids and, you know, you could have fun and still get home and get to bed at a decent hour if you needed to. Just bringing them to a new light, essentially. And the first year was like, oh, man, the event went well, but it was a hard thing to get together. I just never done it before, and I kind of just jumped right into it, and I've been learning a lot ever since.
And you probably didn't have that much help, too. It's probably just by yourself, not, you know, a committee or you know, enough volunteers. And that's clearly grown over the years of people realizing what you've done is great, that you've already laid down a foundation. They can help build it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a really particular person, because I guess it goes, if you want something done right, do it yourself. And I've been burned in the past. So I just kind of wanted to take it upon myself. And, you know, if I want to have a successful event, I want to have to do a majority of the work to pull it off. I probably put a lot more on myself than I should at times, and I'm getting to a point now where I can, like you said, rely on people and, you know, have kind of a base of operations that needs to be done, and I've kind of done it now, and I can finally delegate some stuff out as opposed to feeling I have to do everything.
By yourself. You know, I totally understand.
Which I still do a good chunk of it, but... I'm learning. I'm slowly giving up.
Yeah, instead of like 99%, it's like 75%, 60%. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. When you first started, you know, you did, maybe you had some bands that understood what you're doing, they applied, but otherwise you probably went out to the community and were like, hey guys, come do this thing I'm doing. I swear it's going to be great. But now I assume all these bands from Huntington and around West Virginia are actually knocking on your door saying, hey, Huntington Music and Arts Festival, let me in, let me play. How do you determine which band plays a certain year?
You know, it's always been a community thing, especially with Shamrocks, the way we approached bands. And we always did everything we could to make sure they got something when we walked out of the door. There's been promoters in town that have taken the other angle and, you know, not been so musician friendly. But I think having my earlier background in playing the music and being the band and being treated a certain way kind of helped me form the way I did it. And, you know, all of us bands were in it together. It was my name on the stuff, but we all worked together to make these early ones happen. You know, when it came to promotions or spreading the word or just letting people know or selling tickets and stuff. And when it comes to, like, picking bands out, I like to, you know, I try to see as many shows as I can throughout the year. And I guess one of my main concerns is if a band's active, they're actually doing something, and I want them to have something to promote. Almost like, I feel like, you know, kind of how Mountain Stage is, you know. You're not just looking to pick people up just to pick people up. We want you to know that you're a working band. You're aspiring to do something positive. You're aspiring to promote your music and do things. And that's kind of like to look for, you know, bands that are on the rise or are a solid part of the scene or are actively doing it. It gets a lot tougher because I have to separate friends and people like that to HMAF, like, look, this is a thing. I have to treat it with a level of responsibility, and I can't just let every Tom, Dick, and Harry that I know on it. And it's getting harder because there's only so many spots on it.
Yeah, you probably want to give them a shot, and you probably know they're good people, and they're probably friends. And but that hard decision of saying, well, you know, you're like a cupcake right now that's not fully baked. Like, I want to put you on. I know eventually you're going to get there. And you're going to taste like strawberry shortcake, but right now you taste like, you know, half-baked, and I want to give you some time to really get up there.
Right, like Of the Dell, those boys are a perfect example. You know, they were hounding me last year, and it was just like, you know, you guys are great, and I love you, but you're just not ready for a spot on this. And they're more than ready for a spot for this year's.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've hit their game hard. They have over 25 original tunes now. I mean, they've put the work in, and you can see that, and that's why they'll certainly be on the festival this year.
So, Of the Dell, you know, a brother band out of Huntington, they're one of the bands that actually are on your roster right now for Whiz Bang, correct? And they're joined by Tyler Childers, Ona, William Matheny, Quiet, John Ingram Slugfest, the list goes on and on. Do you take the same approach when it comes to figuring out which bands to take up for your new booking agency, or do you kind of come from a different mindset?
You know, the way I feel is I have to really like the music myself personally to get behind it, because essentially what I'm doing is I'm selling a band. You know, I'm trying to sell a band to a venue that's maybe never heard of this person or maybe never heard of me. And so if you're just doing it just to, like, well, I can pick all these bands up and, you know, just try to toss them out and try to get a little dough or whatever, It's a half-hearted attempt, and I refuse to act in that manner. So when it came to picking the roster for that, those are all people I have a lot of faith in, and I really enjoy their music personally. I can listen to it and listen to it often. And I think that makes my job easier because you're more sincere about it. I think sincerity is a big proponent of doing this kind of thing. Because if you don't believe in it, then how are you going to get someone else to believe in it?
Yeah, that's so true. I do the same thing for my radio show. I mean, it's like I'm not going to put something on that I don't like, because if I don't like it, how can I justify it to someone else? Like it has to be
exactly
something that rings true.
And it's just it's a false thing. And I've tried to rely my credibility on the fact that I'm passionate about what I do. So I like to put that on all fronts, no matter what I'm doing, whether it be booking at a festival or even playing music.
Well, what's interesting about your agency and the roster currently is that the bands aren't just from Huntington, where you're based. They're from around the state, Charleston, Morgantown, mm-hmm. Huntington, around. And that, which is nice. I think that's a testament to the fact that West Virginia's music scene isn't just one area. It's statewide. It's, a 2.5-hour radius that you can go and find friendly faces and even better music. Which I think it's good that you're cultivating that instead of just saying this is only Huntington with a great music scene. No, it's actually the entire state and region that you should look into.
Yeah, correct. Exactly. I mean, you nailed it there. And another thing too, I when it came to these bands, nobody's really alike. I kind of I've hit some different genres with it, so it gives me the ability to book in a wide variety of venues. Got Tyler, who's your Americana kind of country-ish act, and then I've got Charlie Brown Superstar, who's a house DJ, new disco, does his own edits and stuff like that, and then Tim Lancaster, my folk musician, and Slugfest, my kind of funk jam R&B, the whole slew there, and of course Ona, my indie rock darlings.
Have a couple people on the roster, a couple acts that are clearly they're getting maybe a little bit more buzz than others. I think Ona's one of them. Tyler mm-hmm. Childers is definitely one of them, and now William Matheny. And William is actually going to be on Mountain Stage on June 26th in Charleston. It's going to be his official Mountain Stage debut. And what's interesting about it is that you're managing him, but you're also, I assume you're going to be, since I've seen you in the past, be a part of the band. So how is that you're able to kind of manage the band, but also be a part of it as a performer?
Yeah, I'm incredibly excited about William. I mean, William was one of the first ones that I contacted in the early Shamrocks days. And to this day, I'll stand behind the Born of Frustration album, William Matheny and the Frustrations, Born of Frustration. I still think that's one of the greatest records to come out of the state. And so we kind of hit it off early, and so I've been a huge fan of his for so long. It's really kind of funny because it's Shamrocks. Like, when I would run sound, it was a thing, too. In the back room where we ran sound, or where the shows went down there, it was like kind of a shotgun bar with the back room. There was no bar. It was just a stage, And I would only let our sound guys, which is primarily Brian Hensley and myself, play local music between bands. We weren't allowed to do any kind of like popular music or, famous music. We had a whole stack of local music that we would play between them. And I can't tell you how many times I would only play Billy Matheny's record back there.
That's so sweet.
And with him, in the managing sense, Billy's got, Billy's incredibly intelligent, mm-hmm. and he's been in the scene a long time. He's been playing for a long time and been in really good bands. And that guy just, he knows what he wants. And, in terms of managing, I'm really, when it comes to that roster, I only truly manage Tyler and Ona and then now Of the Dell. The rest of them I help out with if they need things like that. you know, ideas, talking back and forth, working things out. But primarily, I work to book those acts. So with William, man, he's a force on his own. He teaches me things when it comes down to it. But we're a nice ebb and flow to bounce ideas off of when it comes to his career. And he asked me to play. He asked me to join the band. I think him and Bud came to the conclusion because Adam Meisterhans plays bass on the majority of the records.
And Adam is Adam's one of the now members of Roswell Kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Founding member of Roswell Kid.
Yeah.
Who came from the Demon Beat, who was another band that would play a lot at Shamrocks. But Meisterhans' availability, is such a busy musician. You know, he's a legit working musician in Nashville. So, it was obvious that he wouldn't be able to make all the gigs, you know, that were coming up with Williams. So they invited me to play, and I jumped right on it. I mean, I don't think I could have said yes any faster than I did to get the opportunity to play with the guy, you know, I've been a huge fan of for years. So it's really kind of nice, you know, like to kind of like be involved, that involved in something, and then separate yourself to try to like pitch it too. But we make it work. We're a nice couple.
Well, and also Bud. I mean, Bud was with you for AC30, and now he's with you again for, would you call this group just William Matheny, or would you call it William Matheny and the Strange Constellations, or are you the Strange Constellations?
William Matheny.
Okay. But, I mean, yep. you're with Bud again. I mean, it seems like you guys are pretty good buds.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, me and Bud really hit it off. You know, I mean, I knew who he was early on. We weren't really, you know, we weren't technically friends in the early Shamrocks days, but we learned to become friends. I'd played The Love Coach had opened up for American Minor a couple times. And, you know, after we got the venue, then, you know, we started kind of hanging out a little bit and talking. And then, yeah, Bud was actually, you know, that Whirling Dervish thing when we lost our guitar player. Bud, he was out of a project at the moment. I think maybe the Southern Souls were down by that point or something. So he jumped right on. And we've been incredibly close ever since. He was integral there in the early years of HMAF 2, helping out and stuff like that. And so, yeah, we're pretty close. AC30 was a really fun run. We never really broke up. We just kind of stopped playing. So hopefully we play again. We have some songs recorded that I'd like to get out there.
Oh, so here's the thing. You're talking about Bud and you guys just being in the scene for so long. I would definitely consider him one of the big reasons why West Virginia music is sounding good and is looking so appealing to others. And obviously you're a part of it too. Last year, Dave Mistich, who's a reporter for West Virginia Public Broadcasting and a writer for the Gazette Mail, he wrote a little piece on the Huntington Music and Arts Festival. And in it, he said this about you. Despite being in his early 30s, there's little question Thornton functions a bit like a grandfather or father figure in Huntington and West Virginia's music scene. I totally agree with that. I think that sums up you absolutely. But I wanted to hear your thoughts, Ian, about, you know, you being this kind of patronly figure.
Well, I think, you know, it's been like a main goal of mine to treat bands well from the get-go. And I think that, again, that stems from me having a musician background to begin with. I think when you treat people well, you get it in return. And ultimately, when it comes to taking on the role that I have, I mean, it wasn't really intended by any means. I didn't realize, if you had told me this 8-9 years ago, that this would be where I was, I wouldn't know if I believe you or not. But it's a matter of doing it, really. This became a passion of mine. It was a passion that just kept growing. And when it comes down to it, it's, you know, people can talk about things all day, but until you take the effort and actually step forward and take the responsibility on, nothing's going to change and nothing's going to happen with it. And I didn't really see that getting done at the time. And so I just felt it upon myself. I had a great opportunity with a great rock venue. And one thing just kept leading to another. I was earning the respect of a lot of bands just from simply, you know, booking and, like I said, the venue treating them right when a lot of bands maybe weren't treated so right at other places. And I think it's kept growing. I don't know if it's, I do get joked about that kind of stuff every now and then, you know, like a dad figure. All the owner boys call me dad. And then in return, the food stamps call me mom now. So I have the whole thing there. But I think it's a matter of just wanting to do it and actually enjoying it. If it wasn't something I enjoyed, I'm nothing I've done was is for really recognition or anything. I mean, the main goal, again, is promoting West Virginia tri-state music. And I would put our scene up against the Seattle boom in the 90s or the Austin boom or whatever. I mean, I think we got per capita just as good of stuff that's going on anywhere in the nation. And, you know, I stand behind that. And if I have to be the one that gets behind it and does whatever I can to push it, then that's what I'm going to do. And until I can't do any more or for some reason just get everything pulled out from under me. But so far, so good.
No, I'd say definitely so far, so good. I mean, you have your hands in so many different things. You know, obviously being a part of a band really kind of nurtured your character into someone that can respect other bands. And in return, they can respect others. And it can just grow this wonderful family of a music scene. And I think it's really great. I mean, we need like 1,000 more of you here, Ian. But, you know, until then, you can just do 1,000 more and it'll be fine. So of all the things you've done, looking back, you know, in and around West Virginia, what would you say is the highlight of your musical journey and what you've done here?
The Huntington Music Arts Festival. You know, I'm really excited we're whiz-bang the possibility and with, you know, like you said, with Tyler and Ona and William really starting to catch on and really do well. That's really exciting, but, you know, it's kind of unknown at the moment at this point. But, you know, starting the festival and knowing what I went through, getting it off the ground and being able to continue to do it here in our 7th year this year, I've had to be proud of something. I'd probably put it with that. And it brings a lot of people together and takes months and months of planning to put that thing on. And phone calls and hitting the streets and, you know, I get all the sponsorships myself. Like I said, months and months of work. But then, you know, it's over in a flash. You know, you get there at 8 in the morning and before you know it, the last band's hitting the last note, and it kind of shoots by, and you kind of say, like, God, you know, I did all this stuff, now it's over. But it's such a thrill. And to see the people, especially like you said, we're bringing in, this isn't just a Huntington thing. This is an entire West Virginia thing, as well as Kentucky and Ohio. You know, it's all about integrating this, and to see all these bands so happy and being together with other bands that they're friends with or love, and being able to see them all on the same stage in one day, or it's a whole week at this point. You know, we're doing a week of events now.
Yeah.
So just growing this into something that I think will be something that Huntington pushes. I think it'll eventually be one of their big attributes. And that's my goal, to make this one of Huntington's main attributes, the Huntington Music and Arts Festival. People coming from around to see it, you know, filling up the hotels and filling up the local businesses and doing what we can to make Huntington a great city.
And just have like a real economic impact for that.
Yeah, you really can. I mean, you look at it with stuff like, I mean, it's obviously a very grandeur idea, but like a South by Southwest is. All different art forms are expressed there. People come from now miles and miles, like countries away, to go to it. It's something it's obviously Austin, Texas, but, you know, I think we can do that on a smaller scale here. And we're finally getting noticed by some of the people, you know, in Huntington, that it's like we're not just a bunch of rock and rollers renting out the amphitheater, playing guitars loud. You know, this is actually a serious thing. We all take it seriously. And we're here to promote and we're here to show you what your city has to offer. All you got to do is, you know, buy the ticket.
So you talked a little bit earlier about your experiences with starting music here in Huntington. How do you see the West Virginia music scene right now? Compared to, you know, 15 years ago when you first started in it?
Again, I think we're on quite a rise. I think some really great things are about to happen. You know, I'm seeing new bands pop up and new bands I really dig. Obviously, I preach Tyler Childers and Ona heavier than anything. I'm closest with those two guys, you know what I mean? Both those acts,
yeah.
Per se. I believe in them more than anything. I'd risk life and limb for both of them. And I think seeing them actually do things that are quality and get them getting recognition across the country, literally, you know, even other countries at this point, you know, I mean, yeah. I look at their sales and the attention they're getting, and it's inspiring. And all it does is keep increasing your passion. It'd be one thing if you keep doing this, like beating a dead horse or running into a wall, but if you get behind it enough, things start catching on, it does nothing but invigorate you more and make you want to work harder and push harder for, and get more acts doing the thing. So, you know, when I came into the scene, it was really funny because the Love Coats were like the only pop rock band around. And so, you know, there was nobody to play with. So what we did is we just learned like 3 hours worth of music and wrote it. So we would basically do our own shows because, it was a really heavy scene then. And you got to think that the 90s Huntington scene, which was a little bit before my time, I didn't really get to take part in it, but was huge with bands like Chum, doing huge things. And that was Huntington at the time. You know, we were a heavy metal scene. We were a heavier scene. And it was kind of I think that was starting to wane off a little bit when I started coming up to it. And it's transitioned now that I don't think you could put your finger on we're just one thing or another. You know, we're eclectic, and I love that. I think being eclectic is going to breed more music than being stifled to, like, say, well, you know, you can't play that around here. Not that anybody ever did. It was just not as popular, maybe. So seeing new bands pop up, new bands that across genres, it's just really inspiring, and I think we're on a rise. There's great things happening the past couple of years, and I think there's even greater things to come in the future.
So what's your advice to anyone that wants to, you know, a young little West Virginian who likes playing music, maybe has a little band with his friends, what's your advice to them in making music and playing it in and around the state?
I would say just love what you do and be passionate about it and be ready to work hard because that's what it takes. And don't put money as your ultimate goal, because I know bands that do that, and it's just not the way, you know, nothing good comes of it. Just if you love music, love music. If you love what you do, love what you do, and believe in what you do and push for it, because hard work will, you know, you will reap benefits from hard work. So I say just love what you do and practice and hone your craft and just believe in yourself and networking, meet other bands, get with other bands, become friends with other bands, because nobody can do a thing on their own. It takes that networking and that camaraderie that comes with a music scene to help build everybody. It's not a one-person thing. It's a music scene for a reason. So you go watch other people's bands, you know, that way people will come watch your band. And you have to be part of it. You can't just kind of just jump in and expect anything. Don't ever expect anything. Work for it, earn it.
You could just make a book of all those quotes you just said, that like a little inspirational book, and you just flip through it each day, like day one, do it. Don't not do it. Do it. No, I love
Don't
it.
Don't not do it. I like that. Don't not do it. That's my one.
That'll be on a Tyler Childers shirt.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Yeah,
all the branding.
Don't not do it.
No, that's great. So, Ian, obviously so much going on for you. Can you give us a recap of the things that we can expect from you in the coming months and by the end of the year?
Yeah, I would say keep your eye out on Tyler and Ona. Both their summers are picking up quickly. And the thing I think I'm most excited about at the moment is this William Matheny record, because I think it's going to blow the top off of it.
Now, is there a release date for it, and is there a title for the record?
There is not a release date for it yet, and I'm not sure if there's actually even a set title for the record.
Okay.
But I know that we'll be on Mountain Stage coming up, which I'm incredibly – I've never been on Mountain Stage. I've always had to watch my friends do it at this point. So
I'm so excited for you. It's going to be a really good show.
My feet. Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. So, and I would say look out for the Huntington Music and Arts Festival. It's on September 3rd this year, and I'm currently in the middle of booking that up. I'm about halfway done with my main, you know, my main lineup. You know, again, that's going to be a whole week of activities in Huntington. Last year was Tuesday to Saturday, so I said, screw it. We're doing 5 days. Might as well do seven. So now it's going to be Monday to Sunday, all full of events.
Oh, that should be fun. And then also Whiz Bang. So anything we should know about Whiz Bang, or just any bands out there interested in maybe wanting to get on your roster?
Well, yeah, just I would hopefully encourage people just to seek out Whiz Bang. I finally got my website up, whizbangbam.com. And then we're also across all your social media, Twitter, Instagram, at WhizBangBam, Facebook. So, you know, I would love for you to know that exists. And I try to keep people updated for every weekend of who's out on the road or who's playing where. As for bands, I'm not currently picking up anybody right now. I think I got my hands full with what I have. I think I've been off quite a chunk to start this thing, so I'm working on my time organization. So I'm trying to just keep everybody busy. I don't think we mentioned Jeremy Short on there, who is just one of the most amazing guitar players I've ever seen. So I think, like I said, I put my roster up against just about anybody's. I think it's pretty much the best.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. Well, is there a fun fact about yourself or something funny or interesting that people may not know about you you'd like to share?
Fun fact. Well, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay, so how about this? Where do you see the West Virginia music scene being 10 years from now?
I hope that we become a focus of the national music scene. And I hope we can set a bar, because we get such a, hate to be that guy that beat on West Virginia or whatever, but, we do. We have a stigma about us that people just, hell, if they even know that West Virginia's a state or that we wear shoes.
It's so true.
It's constantly a thing that we have to battle. And so I would like to make such an impact that people are like, we got to do things like they're doing it in Huntington. A small city, 50,000 people, but look what they're breeding, look what they're doing, look how active they are and how in sync they are with each other, and just making a music scene. I want to build a music scene that can be, admired from the entire nation as opposed to just West Virginia or the people in the immediate surrounding areas.
That was Ian Thornton, founder of the Huntington Music and Arts Festival, as well as Whiz Bang Booking and Management. You can catch him as part of William Matheny's band on June 26th as part of Festival's presentation of Mountain Stage. Hear his musical friends on A Change of Tune, airing Saturday nights at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And for more hashtag WV Music chats, make sure to go to wvpublic.org/WVMusic. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.